This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Guardians of the MCU on the Random Chatter Network.
Hey Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 98, and we are recording this on May 11th, 2020. We have a full house tonight for the first time in quite a while. Lizzie is here and John is here. How are you guys tonight?
Two in a row.
Whoa, episode 98?
98. We're almost at 100. Almost.
Goodness gracious. It's happening, guys. It's really happening.
Episode 100, that big joint episode that we are doing with DC Talk, is going to happen the weekend of Memorial Day. And we are stoked about this. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a good time.
That's when we start getting the big checks, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Have well, you because- been getting checks this whole time? Rude.
No. I just assumed we started getting them coming because then we're syndicated. So then we'll get the big money.
That's true.
That's true. I like your logic. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Others could distribute us.
I support you.
Interesting. Yeah. That's a business decision I'm going to have to work on. Okay.
It's nice to be back together again.
Yes, it is. We have the band back together. It's wonderful.
John's married now.
I'm married. Tim works for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything is
temporarily, different. But yeah. That's
another thing. I mean, I've got 3 weeks. I've got 3 weeks left with the option to extend, my friend.
4 weeks. Don't burn it before it's gone.
Oh, no. Well, this is the start of, like, by the end of this week, it'll be.
Yes. Weeks. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Are we in an alternate universe is what I need to know. Everything is different.
All right. I don't know this. So let us jump into the news. All right, so first up, Rob Liefeld. You guys know who Rob Liefeld is, right? He's one of the co-creators of Deadpool, creator of Spawn. Guy is a great artist. He drew like Amazing Spider-Man and kind of his 90s prime and stuff. Really, really incredible artist. Kind of a douche of a person. and I will completely take responsibility for that statement. I don't want to necessarily put that on you guys. This is a guy, you know, and I tried to follow him on social media for a while because I do respect him as an artist, but as a person, I just can't deal with the guy. And so his latest thing, and I mean, really, if you want some examples, check out some of his social media feeds and you'll see what I mean. The dude thinks he knows everything about the industry, and that everyone like owes him not even a paycheck, like just hand the guy $1 million. That's kind of how the guy feels about himself. So he thinks that the Deadpool 3, the movie, which he has absolutely nothing to do with. He created the character and the comic and has nothing whatsoever to do with the movie. I don't think he gets any royalties from the film productions or anything like that. But he was apparently asked, and I don't know by who, he probably wasn't asked. No, he was. Interview with comicbook.com. And for some reason, they felt compelled to ask him about Deadpool 3. And he said, I blame Marvel. I blame Marvel that hasn't happened yet. They are the reason that it isn't happening. Whatever conundrum or it didn't fit into your master plan, just commission it, okay? Commission it. You know, Frank Frazetta was still around, the artist. You would say, Frank, paint it for me. Okay, sure. Yes, Marvel Studios is now responsible for producing these movies, but they're still also dealing with, I mean, it took a while for like merger stuff to happen with Fox, and you got to figure stuff out. Right?
I mean, it's just a weird, I don't know, the blame game is enough.
He's just, you're right. He's a little weird.
He really is. I mean, I, first of all, I don't know why comicbook.com has to ask the guy about the movie, which he has nothing to do with. And I don't know why he has to weigh in on it. I mean, he feels compelled to. And I think, again, yeah, absolutely. Marvel's responsible for it, but they have to like rebuild all this stuff. They got to figure stuff out, and these things take time. It's like the dude thinks that, you know, movies grow on trees. They don't, by the way.
Well, it's also just like wanting to have a piece of the pie no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like whether it fits in or not, he wants to be a part of it, which I think a lot of fans feel that they would like to see that from Deadpool. Like no matter how it fits in, they want to see him be part of the world. So it's not necessarily even like an unrealistic thing that other people aren't feeling. It's just like a ridiculous way to phrase it or like say it. Because, all right.
It's really true. I mean, Rob Liefeld's trying to keep himself relevant, I think, at this point. It's like, okay, he had some great runs on things. He created some cool characters. And since then, yeah, he's done some stuff, but just not huge. So, I don't know. I don't get it. But speaking of Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds is looking forward to whatever Marvel's going to bring. He says, I see infinite possibility in either version. If Deadpool were to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I think it'd be explosive and amazing. And what a sandbox to play in. If Deadpool continued to get to do just his own thing and be his own thing, also, just like infinite possibility, there's a lot more story to tell. So we hope we get to do that soon. So Ryan Reynolds clearly is open to whatever Marvel Studios decides. Probably really whatever Kevin Feige is going to decide on, is Deadpool going to be in or is Deadpool going to be out? And we've talked about this before. I'm a fan of Deadpool not actually being part of the MCU because his stuff is really parody. And I don't want that to muddy the waters in the MCU. That's my take. What about you guys?
And there's a lot of moving pieces with it being a part of the Disney universe. You know that they have their standards that they want to uphold. And Deadpool, honestly, as a property, doesn't uphold any of them. So, like, right. It's a tricky place to navigate. It's tricky for Kevin Feige because I'm sure there was that whole, like, quote that one time where he said, like, he's got, like, 5,000 characters or however many characters on this mural on his wall. In mm-hmm. his office, and it's like every Marvel character ever. And what his dream is to be able to see all of them playing in his universe and realize that includes Deadpool. So you have to think the guy wants Deadpool to be in the sandbox, but like, it's not that easy. So to say that like, just make it happen. It's just not as easy as we would wish it to be. The way that X-Men isn't as easy as we wish it to be, the way Fantastic Four isn't, the way even mm-hmm. Spider-Man hasn't worked out to be as easy as we wished it would be. You know, the whole thing has a lot of business behind it. And what we want to see is the art and the storytelling win out over any of the business. It's just not how things work. So I get it. I'm with you on mm-hmm. part of it. But like, it's really short-sighted to think that it's just going to happen because you were like, make it work. Like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, and it's similar to other comments. I mean, they're going to tell the story in the right way. Mm-hmm. And it may not be necessarily to our liking and our timeline, but Disney loves money. They're going to do this right.
This is true.
I mean,
is true.
100%.
And especially because they're losing a lot of money right now.
So yeah.
The Scrooge McDuck vault is getting dipped into.
Yeah.
Just a little.
It absolutely is. And yeah. I mean, I'm happy to wait a little bit longer for a better story, and I want them to do what they think is good. And, you know, in Kevin Feige, we trust. I think that like that needs to be part of our logo. I think for now on for the show and in Feige, we trust, Because truly,
we've been saying that for a while, by the way.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. You guys have. It's totally legit. Totally legit. Have you guys seen lately this like sports analogy to MCU characters thing that's been going on?
No.
That
doesn't okay.
sound like a thing I'd see.
So for like the past week, maybe even the past couple weeks, it's been going on a bit. And I don't know why I think it's simply like bloggers and podcasters and sports radio shows and that kind of stuff, really just getting bored in the whole pandemic kind of thing.
And well, we all are bored.
That's true. That's true. But it's this trend that's been going around. And so you have like sports figures that are being, quote, cast as MCU characters or even teams. They've done it with like the NFL or college football or college basketball or baseball or whatever. Here's one article that I pulled up, and they're recasting the Avengers with sports figures. So like Tiger Woods is Iron Man, LeBron James is Thor, and like they each have like a couple of sentences as to why. Let's see, Alexander Ovechkin for hockey fans, him is Hawkeye. Like that totally makes sense. Ovechkin is like this incredible shooter, really, really high accuracy in hockey. The dude's awesome. So they say Ovechkin's a true sniper and doesn't miss when he has a chance to strike against you. Admittedly, this is where the comparisons start to get a bit wonky. So it's like, yeah, this is what they're doing. And like I said, they're doing it with teams, they're doing it with players, they're doing it like across all of sports. It's a thing, I guess. I mean, probably in another week, it'll be gone.
I mean, people are really bored.
Yeah. 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 People are really, it's a weird thing. It's a weird
thing. Yeah. No, going through some of these, yeah, I mean, they're creative, but yeah, I kind of just think people might be a little bored.
Yeah. And there's a lot of that. It's kind of crazy. It's all over the place. So it was one of those things that I wasn't even going to mention, but then like, as I'm going through MCU news, like every single day, there's at least one of these things that's coming up. And I'm like, well, all right, I guess I'll mention it, even though there's really nothing to talk about with it, because clearly it's just boredom sitting in.
Well, I mean, and that's, I mean, it is the, with no filmings, no releases, you know, people are grasping for something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think true. This is why everyone's on TikTok, just to put another, you guys know I love my TikTok right now. And yes, I think indeed. It's why everybody's on there, is because it's random and fun and dumb. And like, this is the exact kind of thing that people are doing on TikTok. It's like fan casting the new live action Hercules movie. Like that's what it is. It's like, we're all just like dreaming outside of the box and like wishing for the world again, and like, and so people who love sports would obviously like tie that to another thing that they love, so it makes a lot of sense from that perspective. Like, sure. I mean I love college football. I only care about Florida State Noles, so like I don't care about anyone else, but so I can't say I love college football. I love my Noles. That's really all I care about. So I can't say that I know like anybody that's being fan. Some people, but I don't care on a macro level. But I love that people are taking two things that they love and mashing them together. That's something that I understand. That's something that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we had reported last week that San Diego, last week or maybe the week before, that San Diego Comic-Con has canceled. And fortunately, it does seem that they are going to be doing some kind of virtual convention, which we talked about. We had hoped for. What's that, John?
Can I do want to disrupt slightly?
Yeah.
And hearing a virtual con. Will you cosplay for the 100th episode?
Oh, maybe.
Now that there's no Comic-Con, I feel like you dressed as, you know, one as the Mud Trooper. would be a great way to tie both the Star Wars universe, the DC universe, and the Marvel universe.
Maybe. I know I can't sit in this chair in full Mud Trooper kit.
You just wear a little bit.
Yeah, I could probably do that. And but then, of course, I know I would get called out by like Mike for like, why are you wearing that? Because that's not Marvel or DC. But,
to make me laugh.
Yeah, to make John happy. That's pretty much that. That's how I've been living the last 10 days of my life, actually, to make John happy.
As you should.
Oh, Lord.
So, anyway, yeah.
San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, so San Diego Comic-Con has said that they are going to do a virtual con. They have started some promotion for this. They haven't said exactly what they're going to do, but they've been kind of putting out some fun stuff on social media like, hey, free parking for everyone, free admission, comfy couches, customized snacks, no lines to wait in. You know, just kind of fun stuff that, like, those are the dredges of going to a con. But now we're all relieved of that. So we'll see what they'll do. I'm hoping that they're going to do stuff. I'm really hoping they're just going to like put it on YouTube. We know that there was something, a few things that were done by Reed Pop, who tends to run a lot of conventions.
I have three friends that work at Reed Pop, by the way. And I love them. Yeah.
On May the 4th for Star Wars Day, and they did all their stuff on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
So, of course, when it was going on, I didn't get to watch it. Admittedly, I really hadn't had the time to watch it. It is up on YouTube now. But, yeah, doing the stuff live, it was up on Facebook Live. Yes, I do think that some of these things lend themselves to be interactive, so they do need a platform to do that. But, of course, there's a gazillion platforms where they can do that. So, hopefully, they're not married to Facebook in this whole thing. But I'm looking forward to seeing what they come up with. There's been discussion of panels, even things like exclusive merchandise they may be somehow doing through this. And related to this, while New York City Comic-Con hasn't made any statements or commitments either way to anything, there was an email that I got a few days ago, and I suspect a lot of people got it if you've attended New York City Comic-Con in sometime in the last few years and you're on their emailing list. They didn't say, hey, we're going to do this virtual convention thing. It was kind of a, if we were to do a virtual convention, or if someone were to do a virtual convention, what would you be interested in? So it was like this 5-minute survey, like, you know, what interests you? What would you like to see? What would you not like to see? You know, what are you a fan of? That kind of thing. So obviously they're gathering some data to help inform what they're going to do. Even though they're pretty much the latest, biggest con, being in October, I'm doubtful that they're going to run.
Oh, yeah. No,
I would agree.
Yeah. But it's great to see, especially San Diego Comic-Con. We know there's big announcements. There's going to be this, you know, virtual Hall H, I would expect. I think we're going to have Marvel involved, Marvel Studios. I think we're going to have all the big entities and franchises that are going to be there. And hopefully we're going to get some cool announcements out of it. So I'm looking forward to it. So they have more details coming soon.
My fun fact, New York Comic Con is my favorite. It's my favorite of all the cons ever because, and I, for last year was the first time I'd ever been to San Diego Comic Con. So like, I couldn't say that with accurate, like I've never been to every con, but like out of the cons I had been to, I loved New York Comic Con the most because I don't know, just the atmosphere. When I lived in New York, I went every single year and it was just my favorite con. I volunteered to work there. That's why I met a lot of the staff. I met Lance who works there, Fallon who works there. My friend Britt started working there. So like, I know a lot of people that work there, but it's just a well-run, fun con. So I love that they're sort of like gauging the audience up front to see like, and sort of like watching the market to see how it goes. Reed Pop also runs Celebration. I think you said that. I don't know if you said that, but they do.
That's my apparently second, their last second year.
Favorite con. What?
This is apparently their last year.
Of Celebration?
Yes, it is widely believed. It's widely believed that this is the last one on their contract. And their last couple were largely mismanaged. So
it's true. It's true. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. As things, I will say, like, Celebration and New York Comic Con are my two favorites, but I went early on a time when it was run very differently and it was a different like atmosphere. Once you get to San Diego Comic-Con level, you have to treat it like a completely different entity and you can't treat it like a small, like intimate con. And I think they still consider themselves smaller and more intimate, whatever. That's the rabbit hole. But I do love New York Comic-Con. So I'm excited to see them try to manage as best they can.
Yeah.
And San Diego Comic-Con too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We want to see all these cons do well. We pretty much assume that this is going to be a year off of physical convention going. You know, we're still waiting to hear from Celebration. We're waiting to hear from Dragon Con. Again, New York City, we're waiting on, but that's, you know, very, very late in the season. But I suspect, I mean, pretty much everyone needs to assume con season physically is not going to happen. And then if, you know, we do have something that comes up, then you'll be surprised. But quite honestly, I mean, I have my tickets for Star Wars Celebration, even if by some strange occurrence that they still end up running it, I will not go. That's I don't think I need to be in enclosed spaces with 200,000 of my best friends.
That's how I feel about it, too.
Yeah.
Like. Even if it was open, is it the best idea?
Exactly.
Whatever. It's fine.
Exactly.
Keep going.
So in slightly MCU related news, talking about Taika Waititi, he has been picked to both write and direct an upcoming Star Wars movie, which is really exciting for him. I think, yeah, I mean, he's fantastic. I'm a big fan. Obviously, Thor Ragnarok is where a lot of people know him from. I absolutely love the TV show, What We Do in the Shadows. It's on FX.
I've heard a lot of good things about it. I've never seen it.
Oh my gosh. It's set.
Dan talks about it all the time.
It's on Hulu, I think. I think that's where they do reruns on it. Cause it's FX and FX stuff goes to Hulu. It is not family friendly. So don't watch it when the kids are around. It is absolutely hilarious, and they parody vampire stuff, and it's phenomenal, and it's basically shot like a documentary. Like literally, they even once in a while will acknowledge the fact that there's like a camera crew following them around. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. It's great. So he's a producer on that. He was a director and one of the actors in the What We Do in the Shadows movie, which was really a low budget movie that was done in New Zealand a number of years ago. The movie's not bad. The TV show is definitely better. And so, yeah, it's awesome that he is, that he's gonna be doing a Star Wars movie. In typical Lucasfilm fashion, they're not announcing the film or any concept of the film or anything like that, which is a thing we talked about extensively on Echo Base. It's a kind of an annoying thing that they do. But they've announced him to be attached to a future project, which is awesome. And I think that he's can do absolutely incredible things with it. He's got a great vision.
Yeah. I mean, everything I've seen of his, I've liked. Those that I haven't seen, I've heard good things about. Him. And I do like the crossover between the worlds. And also as a Star Wars fan, just excited to get another movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I'm not going to say it. I like him a lot and I think he's going to do great.
Yes. Yes, I think so.
I won't say the other thing I was going to say. Keep going.
So related to that, Chris Hemsworth, who is Thor, obviously, was talking about the Love and Thunder script. He was doing an interview about the his new movie Extraction on Netflix, which everyone should check out. Sans family. It's another one of those things that's not family friendly. Good movie. Kind of reminds me of like an 80s action movie. And in a good way, but it seems kind of very tropey to that. So Chris Hemsworth is your basically action hero who's the center of, that movie.
A bit of an anti-hero.
Yeah. Yeah. To an extent. Absolutely. And so he was being interviewed about that. And of course, folks ask him about Thor Love and Thunder, which is being written and directed by Taika Waititi. And Chris Hemsworth said that he read the script. He said it's one of the best scripts he's read in years. It is Taika at his most extreme and at his best. And if the version that he read is the one that we get running with, it's going to be pretty insane. And I that complements itself really well with a quote from Taika Waititi saying that the movie is, he says, it's like 10-year-olds told us what should be in a movie. And we said yes to every single thing. I love that quote. That's just hilarious. So
much. Oh my gosh. That is so exciting.
Can we have a talking dog that shoots laser beams out of its butt while it tells jokes? Yes. Okay.
Yeah, and they're going to do it. They're going to do it. Taika will deliver. I have full confidence in him. His vision is incredible. And I mean, you know, we still have some good directors that are out there, some great directors that are out there. But it seems that we haven't had for quite a while a lot of really visionary directors. You know, we're talking like George Lucas, Steven Spielberg caliber, and you know, certainly Spielberg is still in the game, but he's kind of starting to fade out of it a little bit more
and be a gatekeeper.
Taika Waititi is one of those who he is visionary. He's bringing new things to filmmaking, and while it might not be on the technology side, it's his vision, and it's incredible. I mean, it's different. It's a game changer. It's refreshing.
I think he also like really breathes such life into the Thor franchise. We've talked about this as far as like Thor Dark World and Thor itself. Like as much as I like, as much as I love Kenneth Branagh and his interpretation of the origin story of Thor, I think it's so like highbrow, like very like lyrical, and to like strip that away and make Thor funny and to like lean into Chris Hemsworth's natural like comedic timing is such a beautiful thing that like nobody saw coming. I think like nobody saw that coming from anywhere. And totally so I think true. Taika has that kind of like right hook about him where he's mm-hmm. like, yeah, I'm going to jab for a while. But like when the right hook comes, you're not even going to see it coming.
Yeah.
He just has like this completely beautiful understanding of how to surprise. And I think that's what's exciting about Love and Thunder. That's what's exciting about him working with the Star Wars universe is that, sorry, but it has not been visionary for a while. And I would love to see it return. And we're not talking about Star Wars, but I love that for Love and Thunder.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. Let's see, kind of one off here. Michael Douglas says that we are soon going to be getting some news on Ant-Man 3.
You're so excited.
Okay. Yeah, very excited. I mean, it's kind of a when you look at the timing of things, I would expect we'll get some announcement at San Diego Comic-Con, or their virtual Comic-Con. That's July's what I'm thinking we're going to get. Excuse me?
July's going to be interesting all around.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Dave Bautista, some interesting stuff here. He has been interviewed recently, and he was talking about the kinds of film work that he wanted to do. And so something he said here, he said, what I really want to do, I like drama, just regular old drama. Those roles for me are hard to get a hold of, but I'm constantly searching for them. I'm limited sometimes. Sometimes it's really hard to get people to look outside the box and see someone like myself in those roles.
I love him.
He is. Tim, do you know where you pulled these from?
You know, they've been around. I forgot to link to cite the article, but I know it's been around for a while. You talk and I'll find it.
So, and it may not be from this. And Liz, you comment about really loving him. So he was on Michael Rosenbaum's podcast a week, maybe 2 weeks ago. It's the second time he's done it.
I love Michael Rosenbaum so much.
He and Rosenbaum does a good job with it. Dave really does a good job of talking about growing up, and it's near and dear to my heart. He grew up in Washington, D.C., and really talks about like the hardships he kind of went through and how, you know, kind of blessed he feels to be, you know, where he's at. And I mean, hearing him tell stories about what he wants to do and how he grew, and having like the stories he tells, I mean, I know all the places I, you know, again, growing up here. So it was really, really cool. And I mean, he does talk, and it may not be the same interview, but he does talk in that interview about, you know, how he does like some of the action stuff. Mm-hmm. But he also likes the drama. He likes the comedy. He doesn't want to just be an action star.
Yeah. This actually did come from the Mike Rosenbaum interview. So,
okay.
And so kind of taking off from that, he said the stuff in the first Guardians film that I looked forward to was the dramatic stuff, like Drax talking about his family being murdered right in front of him, stuff like that scene. It was really hard. Unfortunately, it was cut out of the film because it was just kind of slow and it was too dark for the film. But that's the kind of stuff I was really looking forward to. And he did go on. There was another quote where he talked about the comedy, like, you know, nothing goes over my head. And then mm-hmm. from the first Guardians movie, then the second Guardians movie, where he's like, if I stand really still, no one will see me. Yeah. And yeah, he said that he really enjoyed that stuff. And obviously, it's really easy to see how he can be typecast. I mean, you look at that guy and he's a meathead.
Oh, yeah.
But he actually has some pretty good acting chops, and it's surprising, but he does really well with it. I just don't, it's tough to visualize him physically in a drama role, but as an actor with how he expresses himself, I totally can.
I think it's the same, challenge that The Rock faced when he decided that he wanted to. I think anybody who has a wrestling background, which wrestling is, as much as I am like not a fan of wrestling, I don't care about it. But then I watched Glow, which we've talked about. I love Glow. Mm-hmm. And I think that really made me think of it more as like a soap opera. And so mm-hmm. it does have its basis in acting and like drama and performance. And so I think there's so much that comes out when you are part of a wrestling entity, as he is or was. I don't know if he still is. He still, I don't know.
He doesn't.
I know he was, says, right?
He was. That's where he got his fame. He is one to report he is mostly retired. I think he may be in agreement, like he would come back and do a match or a selective one. His last run was not well received, which was no fault of his own. It's the writers, but it wasn't well received. So I think it left a little bit of a bad taste in his mouth. He's also getting up there in age. So it is hard to do that.
But I see his capability as really high, like The Rock's was. I mean, they're so different. And I don't like to just compare them because they're both have wrestling backgrounds and then action backgrounds. But like, whatever, the comparison's there. So whatever. I think that like his comedic timing is so good. And I think he has such a capability from just seeing what he's done in the Guardians universe. What else is he was in that other movie, that action movie that like came out right before everything happened. He was with like,
No, it ended up going straight to Netflix.
Okay.
The one with the little girl.
Yes. With the little girl.
Yeah. He talks about that with Rosenbaum of how much he pushed to get that developed.
Is it the, like I Spy there. Or something? Is it
something like that? But he talked about that, how disappointed he was that it went straight to Netflix, because he was really hoping that it would kind of help make him and people see him in a different light. Mm-hmm. But he's been a Bond villain.
Yeah, he was.
That's right.
And it was My Spy, not I Spy.
My Spy. There we go. He has gotten into some things, and I'd like to see him expand. He actually is a pretty good actor. and again, very similar to The Rock, where, yeah, he can do the actiony stuff, but his comedic timing is really, really good. And he can truly ground himself. So I think once fans, viewers can get over the physicality of him as a person, I think that they can be a little more accepting to his range as an actor.
Well, and I think what's amazing about the MCU is that, like, look at all the actors that have defied the pigeonholing that they've been put into. Whether it's Robert Downey Jr. and his downfall as an 80s, like, brat packer, mm-hmm. and then his amazing comeback as Iron Man, whether it's Chris Evans being a Marvel character that was, like, you know, meatheadish, like, frat boyish, mm-hmm. and then busting out as, like, the epitome of the American dream in Captain America. Chris Hemsworth, who, like, was not on the map before that, before becoming Thor. Paul Rudd, who, like, has had this prolific career as, like, all the things, whether you like him or not, he still has, like, staying power in Hollywood. So yep. I think, like, so many different actors and actresses. I mean, Scarlett Johansson prior to this was basically cast as, like, sexy secretary always. And instead of, yeah. like, continuing that, they flipped it on the head and was like, yeah, sexy secretary, but also can kick your ass. Like, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, I think MCU takes people who are gifted and gives them such opportunity to breathe life and be on that, like, this is a perfect launching pad for Dave Bautista in a movie career to start off as Drax, who is, like, such a weird, like, one dimensional character, but hilarious, but also dramatic, but also actiony, to be able to launch off into so many different directions. I think this is a great place for him to start. Not that he started here, but, you know, I mean, as far as his hopes and dreams of the future, I think the MCU supports that in so many people, including Taika, who we were just talking about.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I think Taika's great at finding that and drawing that out of people.
That's what he needs to just work with Taika. Then he would find
well, he was in, Tim, Taika. What was the show you mentioned on FX?
What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, I mean, he's done an episode of that, apparently. But
did he?
I don't know if has
oh, did he really?
Or is. Yeah, he talks about that because that's where I was like, oh, wait, I've heard that show.
I love Michael Rosenbaum, by the way. Can we just talk about Michael Rosenbaum for 3 seconds? Because he's wonderful.
I wonder if that's an episode that hasn't aired yet, because I know actually Mark Hamill has an episode coming up of that also. So I wonder if Batista's episode is yet to come. And it's not that last season they had a handful of various celebrities on there too. So it's got a great celebrity following that people just, they really love it because it's offbeat enough without being too offbeat. And it's really funny and it's adult and it's unique. It's very unique.
But I
think
that's what Taika's strength is like offbeat, but relatable. Like you can't be so offbeat that people are like, what?
Yes, exactly.
You have to be a little bit a little.
If something is too outlandish, people just are going to they're going to dismiss it.
It makes me think of the perfect picture of Taika is that clip of Chris Evans seeing him at a photo op and, like, tearing down the background because he wants to say hi to Taika so bad. Have you seen that one?
No, I have not.
Okay, you should just Google it because it's so pure. And it's like Chris Evans and Taika are at an event and they see each other and they go to, like, say hi and hug each other. And Taika's, like, exuberance to say hi to Chris Evans is so high that he rips the background down of the photo shoot or the background or whatever.
And oh, that's funny.
It just falls down. And it's so, like, purely Taika at his purest.
That's great.
It's so great. Go ahead, Doc. Sorry.
So apparently his episode was in 2019.
Oh, so it was last season.
Yeah.
There was one that kind of had, like, a whole bunch of guests in it. Their segment was fairly short. He might have been in there. I'll have to check it out and see.
I'm scrolling. It was in the episode The Trial.
Yes. That's the one where they had, yeah, there was like, I don't know, 8 or 10 people in the room. And I think all of them were noted actors. So yeah, that was probably okay. The one. So before we continue on, quick commercial break. Yes, we're repositioning again, where we're putting some of our network announcements in here. I'm going to throw it in the middle for a little bit, give folks a chance to take a breath with things.
Well, then I'm going to get more wine while you do that.
Do you want to let everyone know that we, it was intended to be a kind of a special for Guardians of the MCU, interviewing Vanessa Marshall. And a lot of folks know Vanessa as the voice actress who played Hera in Star Wars Rebels. She's done a ton of Marvel animated shows. She's done a ton of DC animated shows, video games, commercials, all sorts of stuff. And the great thing is she's still insanely busy now. She has a home studio and she just continues recording everything that gets thrown at her. So she does a great job. I'm actually going to put in this episode, probably the lead into this episode, she was kind enough to record a little thing for us. So I'll also share it with you guys. And, but the discussion, so John and Lizzie with some scheduling stuff couldn't make it to the interview. So I asked Lou to sit in with me. And really the discussion, it was far more discussion than an interview. And we just covered like everything. There was a little bit of Marvel. There's a little bit of Star Wars, even some DC. There was some gaming. There was coronavirus. There was industry stuff. There was food. There was all sorts of stuff. So it was a fun, very casual discussion that we had with her. She's wonderful. I've known her in a sense for a few years that her and I have been communicating. And she goes to a lot of conventions and stuff. Lou has met her a couple times before, so it was great. It was a lot of fun. I put that out first to our Patreon bonus and premium members. And on Friday, that's going to go out to the world. Reminder, what's that, John?
I said that's pretty awesome. I look forward to it because I was disappointed I couldn't hear it.
Yeah, it was great. Reminder to folks, you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. We definitely appreciate you leaving reviews wherever it is that you find our podcast and certainly spreading the word about us. John, you have coworkers who listen to us. You wanted to throw a couple shout-outs out there?
Well, I do, and I was waiting for the right time because I did get slightly chastised after I made my return last week for not giving Jamie a shout out, who now Tim also has worked with Jamie yes. to an extent. And so Jamie, here's your shout out. and if you don't mention said shout out by what, Tim, you think this will drop tomorrow?
Maybe depends where I can find time to do the edits.
Yeah. I mean, your boss is a jerk.
The worst.
So let's say Jamie, if you don't give acknowledgement of the shout out by Friday, you're never getting another one.
Ooh. Oh, that's harsh. That's harsh.
What a taskmaster. This guy, Tim.
So folks, definitely, we really appreciate you spreading the word about us. And we're about to hit our 100th episode. What we would actually love is send us some emails or messages on social media or on Discord. Tell us, like, hopefully how much you've appreciated us. I mean, we're hitting 100 episodes. It's a big deal to us. Some of you are new listeners. Some of you have been with us for a long time. There's some of you I know who have been with us since the beginning and that's awesome. And we appreciate you staying with us. And, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you and we're more than happy to read some remarks on the air.
I think we should.
Yeah. Yeah.
A couple.
Absolutely. Might not be on our 100th episode because that's going to be this big crossover thing with DC Talk. But we'll say for 101, we'll do some reading of things and some shout outs to folks. So we definitely appreciate that.
The scheduling constrictions on doing a major crossover event like this. I mean, I get what, you know, Grant and, you know, all the people in the Arrowverse talk about when they talk about the schedule, Melissa, I mean, all like, I get it now. God, these are hard. First names,
Grant and Melissa and Steven. Get out of here.
Well, Steven's tough now. I mean, he's doing a wrestling show now.
Don't you dare talk to me about the Arrowverse, because I'm not all caught up yet. You shut your mouth.
Also, we definitely appreciate contributions to the network. We do need money. We pay hosting fees and data storage fees and all sorts of stuff. We have various operating expenses that we do pay. Fortunately, for a while, we've been able to do this without taking money out of our own pockets, which is wonderful. So even when we first started, before we started this show, I was actually shelling some money out of my own pocket for some things for the network. And we're at the point now where we don't have to, but we want to be able to do more. And as we grow and we take on more shows and do more things, those costs do continue to go up. So if you like what we do here at Random Chatter and you want us to do more and you want to show us some thanks, if you're capable of doing so, we appreciate it. Go to randomchatter.com/Patreon. You can contribute to us. Even just $1 a month makes a huge difference. And that also, just that $1 makes you a member. We are a nonprofit organization, official by way of the IRS and all that stuff. And part of being a nonprofit is to have members. And so that is our gateway to membership is Patreon contributions. So even just that $1 a month gets you membership. Membership at various levels gets you benefits. And kind of the opening benefit for everyone is full access to our Discord community, which we have a ton of channels. And we do have a public side to that, which has a few channels. You can go over randomchatter.com/Discord to get into there. But the full suite of channels that we have talking about all sorts of things, that is that comes with membership. And we get some new information that goes in there. We get all sorts of different things. So certainly join us there. And also, please head over to TeePublic. You can get there by way of randomchatter.com/store. That will bring you directly to Random Chatter Network merchandise. So we have logos of a bunch of our shows, including Guardians of the MCU and DC Talk and others. And you can get logo merch, mugs and t-shirts and all sorts of stuff. I actually got an email since I administer that, I got an email a couple hours ago that we got a sale today on TeePublic. So it's always, I love getting those emails because that helps spread the word and people get to show their fandom. And we actually even get a cut of that. How TeePublic works is that artists basically get a small commission. So when like a t-shirt sells, we get like $2 out of that. And that's awesome. It's a help to us. So thank you. Back to our regularly scheduled program.
I like a middle commercial break. Look at you being fancy.
Yeah, trying something different.
And they allow Liz to go refill her glass.
Exactly.
Thanks, exactly. Guys. I really need it. I need a mid episode wine break.
Yeah.
Continue.
All right, so back to our news. We have some things here on Disney Plus, and among these things are confirmed news. And things that are, they're unconfirmed news, but they really don't fit in speculation or rumors. It's things that are kind of grounded in news, but it's like this gray area. It's definitely not a rumor. It's not speculation. It's just stuff that Marvel Studios hasn't actually said, yeah, this is it. So you'll kind of see what I mean here. It's not like anything really heavy. So what do we have? So in the unconfirmed stuff, WandaVision filming for that was apparently completed prior to the pandemic. There was some thought that they still had a couple weeks to go, but they apparently did not. So all the principal, what they call principal photography, has completed before the pandemic occurred. So they still have some visual effects to do. They have some editing to do. Some of that they're able to do in this current situation. Others they're not. Inevitably they'll have some reshoots to do. Obviously they need to wait for this to lift before they can do any of those reshoots, but they may be able to release fairly close to schedule. The concern here though, is that we know that Doctor Strange 2 has been delayed now to March of 2022. We know that there's a really strong connection between WandaVision and Doctor Strange 2. So Are they going to wait now to release WandaVision? What do you guys think?
You'd kind of have to keep them connected together. I mean, or there's going to be a really big gap. I mean, I know they don't want to, but it seems like, to me, that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think the way the MCU, the strength is that they can plant the seeds in other movies and projects in order to build to where they want to go. So it's not like they don't have other things coming out that they couldn't plant the seeds in or start the, you know, the general like build up. So it's, I think to say like what made sense before was what was going to happen. What's going to make sense after quarantine is something different. And I think that's true of the world. And so the MCU also has to respond that way because what's available and what's not available has changed as far as scheduling, as far as what's done, as far as what time frames, as far as anything. And so, I mean, I think they can lean into other things they have. I don't know if they will. I think that's a possibility. That's always been a possibility. Think of the time frame between trilogy movies of Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Avengers. They had to lean into other projects in order to make that build. They couldn't just lean into the three trilogy movies that were a part of their own universe. They had to lean into the greater universe. And that's a strength of the Marvel universe in itself. So, yeah. I mean, that's a huge strength that they can play on. I don't know because we don't know anything. Right. Life is weird. But I think that that is something that like, continues to give me faith in the MCU that they can do things beyond what we might think.
And I think certainly with Disney Plus being their platform for the release of these series, it gives them a lot of flexibility because they have full control over it. 100%. And yeah, that definitely helps quite a bit.
They need to add the thread of something into like Falcon and Winter Soldier or whatever else they could. I don't know how that would impact their storytelling, but it leads to the buildup.
Yeah. Yeah. They absolutely could. Speaking of Falcon and Winter Soldier, they apparently were going to have some kind of a storyline having to do with the pandemic. Interestingly enough, which I guess they've scrapped that seems to be the yeah, that seems to be the word right now that they've scrapped it, but I guess it was minor enough that it doesn't really impact a lot of things. So I guess they're just able to kind of rewrite and reshoot a little bit around that. We'll talk about that shortly. The last bit of unconfirmed news, and this comes from CinemaSpot. They're reporting that She-Hulk, Moon Knight, Hawkeye, and Ms. Marvel, these are all Disney Plus shows, they've all been written. Now, they don't say to what extent. They could have treatments written. They could have scripts written. They could have their first set of scripts written. And of course, no initial script survives. I mean, they get trashed and edited and written and rewritten. But it says that these are written. I definitely believe it with Hawkeye and with She-Hulk. Moon Knight and Ms. Marvel, okay. If they were really ambitious, I guess they could have gotten them written just because they were kind of later announcements. But yeah, She-Hulk and Hawkeye, I definitely believe, especially Hawkeye. Hawkeye was one of the first ones announced.
I think what's interesting about the Marvel Universe is that these characters have been around for such a long time. So the idea that scripts haven't been out there for a long time doesn't make sense to me. Of course, there have been things circulating and maybe they grab something that really, really works. Whereas like in 2010, it wouldn't have worked because we're not in the place in the MCU where we are now. So there may have been strong scripts to latch onto and to rework, you know, so the things that were out there could have been out there and to find something that like really like hits now, it's not out of the realm of possibility that could have been out there and that they found it, you know, that it found it to the right place and the right people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that makes a lot of sense to me. People excited to do it too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of news items here for Disney Plus that I'm considering confirm because they both came from the Hollywood Reporter, and Hollywood Reporter is usually very, very accurate. They're very reliable with things. they have a lot of close associations with folks at Disney. And so they tend to report on things that while Disney or Marvel Studios or Lucasfilm might not actually be able to come out and make the statement that, yes, hey, this is true. Hollywood Reporter has folks, they get information from the inside that I think there may be like an intentional leak kind of thing. And very similar, Variety gets them, Entertainment Weekly gets them. So there's this handful of entities that do get good, reliable information that we can pretty much consider to be confirmed. So Hollywood Reporter has reported that, Czech Republic is going to be allowing productions to resume filming there fairly shortly. Sorry. And they've established a variety of safety protocols to, help enable this to happen. Why this is real important is because Falcon and Winter Soldier was about to shoot there. In fact, I think everyone was actually there on location. They had gotten to the Czech Republic, and I believe that they were shut down before they even started. So they're now able to go back there. They did interview Sebastian Stan, who said he says there were probably 2 or 3 weeks left to shoot, but don't quote me on that. Well, we have. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
Sorry, Sebastian, we're doing
it. Yeah. Yeah. Falcon and Winter Soldier was supposed
to. As soon as you say, don't quote me on that, you're going to get quoted on that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Falcon and Winter Soldier was supposed to be released in August. I'm guessing that that's going to get delayed considering that these 2 or 3 weeks of shooting were supposed to have happened 2.5 months ago. So, I mean, unless they really accelerate some of their post-production stuff, I'm guessing that it's going to get delayed some. So we're probably going to see it a little bit more into the fall, maybe even early winter, depending. And that may also tie into the WandaVision stuff. If they want to push WandaVision out a little bit more, they can push Falcon Winter Soldier out a little bit more. So there's not a huge gap between them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Side note about Sebastian's. Like, oh, go ahead, John.
No, I was going to say, go ahead.
It's a side note. So if yours is relevant, go ahead.
I think we're going to see more delays on movies, on shows. It's going to be a big shuffling of the deck, which, I mean, it's going to leave a big gap for fans wanting. And, you know, are there different ways that they look to go and start filling gaps?
Yeah.
Well, I think we also all have to like give a little bit of, you know, understanding to the situation, a la Carrie Fisher dying in the midst of the sequel trilogy being made. We have to understand that like forces greater than what we'd wish to have happened, and it's going to adjust things. That's not ideal, but too bad it happened anyway. So I think we have to like, as fans, have a little bit of grace in the situation to say like, clearly this is going to be told a different way. And now they have to tell it in a way that serves the timeline after quarantine, after COVID-19. Yeah. And I think that's like our part to do, to say like, we get it. You know what it makes me think of is the writer's strike of the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When Lost, like, had the, I'm a huge Lost fan, and when Lost had the writer's strike, it completely affected the writing, the storytelling, the way the story was told that whole season. And like, you have to kind of be like, yeah, I mean, I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not great, but I get it.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a little bit of that we're going to have to do across the board, across fandoms, and to say that like, we get it. We were all there, you know.
Like, yeah, I mean, we all have to be
30 years are going to be like, what goes on? And we're going to be like, COVID-19. And they're going to be like, say no more.
We all have to be pretty forgiving with it and understand that these things take a long time to produce. And so everything's going to get delayed for a while.
It's just going to be weird. Like, let's get on board with the fact that it's going to be.
Yeah.
But my side note for Sebastian Stan was he posted a picture in his like COVID-19 mask, and he wrote like, this feels familiar, and it was so Bucky. it was fantastic. Like a fantastic way to respond to like wearing a mask.
Oh, absolutely. COVID-19. Absolutely. So
it was great. It was a good post.
That's great. So to wrap things up real briefly with our speculation rumors segment, there's a number of different sources that are reporting on properties in development with Marvel Studios, and some interesting ones, things that we've mentioned before, that we've talked about before as being possibilities. So on the film side, Nova, which we talked about, because obviously Nova was a member of the Nova Corps. We've seen the Nova Corps, and that pretty much opens the door to this elite member of the Nova Corps with these extraordinary powers being Nova. So not a big surprise, but we haven't really heard. We heard some talk about it a while ago, maybe a year ago, but then that seemed to drop off. I'm a little surprised, I guess, that they are doing it.
I think there was a lot of James Gunn threads that, like, when the whole scandal happened, dropped off, including Adam Warlock, including Nova, including a lot of things that were incorporated in the Guardians, like, franchise specifically, that were intended to bring over to the Marvel franchise, like, greater. And I think when the James Gunn scandal, I use the word scandal very lightly because it was stupid, and we've talked about it. You want to go back, listen, go ahead. But it was a dumb reason to, like, ghost somebody. And so, like, I think now that he's back, it's interesting because all those things are being talked about again. I've heard things about Adam Warlock. I've heard things about Nova. So I think, like, they're so tied to him as a creator and as somebody who's championing those ideas and those stories.
And you mentioned Adam Warlock, and I got to wonder if maybe Adam Warlock would be the antagonist to a Nova film.
I think he's going to definitely play a role now that James Gunn's back. 100%. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah. Even though Gunn has said he doesn't have any movie commitments with Marvel Studios after Guardians 3.
Yeah, I don't care what he says.
But who knows? I mean, he could be picking up something else. Or it still could be someone else to be writing and directing. But we know that we saw Adam Warlock in Guardians 2.
Yeah.
It was too overt to miss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And to not do anything with.
Right. He's a huge player.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John. Sorry.
And they can also take, and Tim, we talked a little bit on this last time, they could take something like a Nova, you know, or the next one you're going to mention, or even some of the, you know, rumors of the series. And do they look at, as opposed to a big blockbuster in the theater, do they start looking at some of these and say, hey, they're going to cost a little bit more to make than a series, and we throw them on Disney Plus Plus for an additional fee, similar to what Universal did for the Trolls Worldwide.
Yep.
And they're going to make more than it as if it were a series. They're going to maybe not make as much as if it were like a worldwide release, but maybe they will, because they're not going to be, you know, carry as big, and they start to experiment in that format. Like, to me, Nova is I'd probably see it, but I'd be more comfortable shelling out $10 on Disney Plus Plus, you know, or something of that ilk. And with how much time we have and how much theaters are going to change, you know, is that a different avenue they start to take, where they, you know, it's not going to make $100 million, but it's not going to make $100 million in a theater anyway.
Right. Yeah,
we talked about that too, and you know how I feel about it. I hate it.
Another one of them is Ghost Rider, which is not a big surprise, especially considering, one, it's a quasi-established property and character.
AKA Nicolas Cage forever.
We know that Feige wants to do something with it. I mean, Ghost Rider was slated for a Hulu series that got yanked, kind of with the supposition that there was another path for this character. And so maybe they'll do something in film potentially. Personally, I would still rather see a series for the character, but I think to really give it any heed, they couldn't, I don't know if they could do it on Disney Plus. I think Hulu still would be the better place for it. But then absent that, if they really want it to be more quote mainstream, they're going to have to do it on film. And obviously there's a lot of potential for tie-in with Doctor Strange or some of the others.
But I think this is the change in the conversation of what's going to be mainstream, because they're bringing mainstream to Disney Plus.
True. Yeah. Very true. So that's
maybe a conversation for another time. But I think the question of what's mainstream is going to shift pretty quickly when you incorporate something like the MCU, the highest grossing movie of all time, into a TV show series like on a Disney Plus series. I think it's going to change the face of the game. The way that I think Clone Wars has changed things for the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So on the series side, which would be Disney Plus, presumably, Secret Invasion and Secret Warriors, which are very much tied together in the comic line. Secret Invasion comes first, and this has to do with the Skrulls, basically impersonating people and heroes and that kind of stuff, which is then followed by Secret Warriors, which is a group that Nick Fury put together, and various different characters who basically were assembled to handle that and to handle other things. It's just one more of those ensemble types of teams. Secret Warriors is kind of a surprise. That has not been talked about before. Secret Invasion has been talked about. We've talked about it here on the show at least twice, maybe three times, maybe more. Who knows? So I'm not entirely surprised by Secret Warriors if they do want to continue that storyline, and I think it is worth continuing, because Secret Invasion is one of those things that you don't just do and then, oh, okay, let's go on to something else. No, it has a lasting impact. And I think the continuation of that into Secret Warriors can make sense. I'm interested to see what characters they'll bring into it. It's a good opportunity to have one or two like real big headline characters, and then a handful of lesser known characters to support them and give those lesser characters a good introduction into the MCU.
Is this in the context of a Disney Plus show or in animated in a Disney Plus show?
Yeah, seems to be a Disney Plus show. I don't believe any of this is animated.
Okay, because the animated universe operates as a comic book universe, and it's sideways, and it like doesn't have impact on the MCU.
Yeah,
as we know.
And
so
and there,
I don't have my notes in front of me, so sorry, guys. I'm just
And there was a Secret Warriors animated series that Marvel did put out, which was very, very different. Very different. So I don't think it's going to have anything necessarily to do with that. And then lastly, Ironheart, which we've talked a lot about here, a ton about. I'm not at all surprised. In fact, I'm very happy.
We talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
We've talked about it a lot of times.
Yeah. I think we're all in favor of something happening with Ironheart. So that would be terrific. That would be great.
I think the diversity aspect mixed with the like nostalgia for Tony to return in some way of like some symbolic way is right for her to make herself known.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
And I think that's why we're all like, yeah, we're fine with it. Like, whatever. Okay. Yeah. Ironheart. Great. Bring her in.
Yeah.
I don't think there's one person that's like, no, let's think about that. Is there one person?
Oh, I'm sure there are out there. There's that. No. There's always somebody. There's always somebody, but not here.
Are they also protesting in Michigan? Fine. Whatever.
All right. Anything that you guys have before we close out?
I like Marvel.
John?
Tim, I'll see you in the morning. All day.
John? I'm going to just be in on your calls for fun.
Oh, no, you don't.
Wine. Make snarky comments. That's what I bring to the table.
Liz, you get to see sometimes professional angry John.
Oh, yeah.
You be angry if I have my giant glass of wine and snarky comments? Probably not.
Yes, I will, because I'll want said glass of wine.
Uh-oh, fine.
And that will, in fact, fuel his anger, because he'll be even more angry that he can't have the wine. So,
what a taskmaster you are, John. A mere taskmaster. Can you remember that you're married for a minute?
Only until 4:30, and then I leave to go to meetings and leave my team to run amok.
Wait, you're only married till you're till 4:30?
That's I'm only a taskmaster.
That's a weird thing to put in the vows.
Yeah, I mean, we're only married 9 to 5.
Yeah, yes. Right. Yeah. Well, that's John and I are only married 9 to 5, and then
That's right, Tim. You and I are married.
Yeah. Then he goes back to his wife after that,
and you go back to yours, and
in yep. 9 to 5 marriage. If it was only 9 to 5,
and sometimes I see your wife during the day in the background.
This is true. This is true. Considering we've basically put her office right outside the doors to my office, so yeah.
Guys, the
you put Robin in the corner.
Friends in real life who podcast together and our lives bleed into each other, and it's miraculous.
Yeah, yeah.
It I'm is. Also 3 glasses into this giant glass of wine. So hey,
there you go.
Oh no.
All right. Well, for the sake of me wanting to get out of my office, which I have been in for a very long time today, I'm going to say, John, take us out of here.
Everyone, please send us your feedback, your questions, your comments, your concerns, especially you, Jamie. You have until Friday. You can reach us at guardians@randomchatter.com and, of course, all of the Discord channels. And I don't want to discount all the other people I should give shout-outs to. I can think of you right now, but then I'd forget someone and I'd get in trouble. Also, I'm pretty tired and I've had 3 beers.
I think John and I are on the same page.
Liz?
Is that me?
That's you.
That's okay. You.
Also, you can find us on Twitter @randomchatter, which is the best place to find us. We're also at a couple other places on Twitter. Hey guys, guess what? I'm at the Lizzie T on all places. At the Lizzie TEAT. On all the places, Twitter, Instagram, every place, all the places, YouTube, Talk. That's where I'm at, which is great. Okay, Tim can be found at Qui-Gon Tim, that's Tim with 2 M's. John, you can't find him on Twitter. Don't even look. But on Instagram, you can find him at _JonStewart, JonStewart. I can spell even with wine. And Tim can be found at some call me Tim1138. That's Tim with 1 M. And also, you should be on TikTok. That's all.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us once again. We hope that you are entertained, and we will catch you in about a week. Take care.